You know, Pastor has been preaching on family life. And we've been hearing biblical, helpful, practical, applicable principles from the Scriptures on what it means to have a family biblically. I'm so thankful for the Bible that is our owner's manual for all areas of life, including family. I've changed some things at home, and I've changed some things in the way I see things and in the way I do things, and I hope you're doing that as well. And I look forward to him continuing the series. Tonight, he's asked us to shift our focus outside of the immediate particular family where you live into what the Bible refers to as, or we're referring to tonight as, the church family. So we've been studying family life. Tonight, we'll talk about church family life. And so we're shifting our focus from moms and dads and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters and husbands and wives to the church family. And that's an easy shift to make because the Bible says that the church is very much like a family. In the epistles that Paul wrote, over 100 times, he refers to the believers as brethren. Brethren, because they were a part of his family spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul wrote, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God." He says, we're part of the household of God. We used to be unrelated. We used to be foreigners to one another. But now we're from the same hometown, and we're from the same family under the same roof, and that is the roof of God's family. But as you know, all families are not created equal. Some families thrive while other families struggle. Some families experience great joy and laughter and memory-making, while other families struggle to survive and even stay together. That's the case with the American family. It's the case with our families culturally. But unfortunately, it's also the case for church families. Not all church families thrive, and we have a thriving church, but not all members of every church family are thriving as a part of the family. And why is that? It's not about the circumstances around us, it's about the behaviors within us. And tonight we look at the behaviors that were present in the opening days of the church family. The very early days. I don't know if you have a photo of years gone by for your family, but we do for our family, and we do for my family that my brother and my sister, my parents who raised us, we spent some time last summer looking through some family pictures on the occasion of my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And family life is a great life. And oftentimes you can go back at moments like that and you can look at the early days of the family and you can see common threads that were present in the life of the family, and the same is the case with the church. Healthy churches today, 2,000 years later, do what healthy churches did in the early days on the pages of the New Testament. And today we're going to go back to the earliest church family. The church family in Jerusalem. Jesus had given his life on the cross of Calvary, been buried and risen from the grave. He's now ascended to heaven, and just a few days pass, and Acts chapter 2 occurs, the day of Pentecost. People from all kinds of nations are gathered from all over the region, and they've descended upon Jerusalem, but something amazing takes place. They begin to hear the gospel in their own language, and they turn their attention to the preaching of Peter and the other apostles, and they are captivated by the preaching. What happens next is the very first really expression in the pages of the book of Acts of what it looks like to be a church family. Acts 2:41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." We'll read the rest of this passage in a few minutes. But I want you to notice three characteristics of the early church family. First of all, they were glad to be added. They were glad to be added. These are people that came from all walks of life. Before the day of Pentecost, before their conversion, they had nothing in common. They spoke different languages. They were from over 20 different nations. They had come here for a common holiday, and they had very little in common. They were from different national backgrounds. They were from different walks of life. There were rich, there were poor, there were young, there were old. They had very little in common until today. And on this day, they received Christ as their Savior, and they were so glad to receive the Word, and they were so thankful to hear that the Messiah had come, and they were glad to be added. They had little in common, but now they had the most important thing in common: faith in Jesus Christ. And isn't that what a church family is? It's people who've been glad to be added to the family. The song says, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. And I hope you are glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm, as Brother Rule said, it's right to give no matter where you go to church, but how great is it to get to give at Lancaster Baptist Church? And I feel the same way about other areas of church life as well. It would be important and right to go to church no matter where you were called to go to church, but to get to go to Lancaster Baptist Church, where the pastor has been praying and laboring over the text and has been preparing the message, and where the music has been prayerfully and thoughtfully prepared, and where there's a growing number of brothers and sisters, some that are new in the faith, some that have been here for over 25 years, and what a blessing to be a part of the family of God. They were glad to be added. These people used to be kind of consider themselves as carpenters or as merchants or laborers or farmers. That's kind of how they identified themselves culturally. But that was all in the background now. Their nationality differences, that was all in the background. The main thing was they were Christians, and they were glad to be Christians. Look at verse 46 in your Bible. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that's what you're going to do tonight, right? It's biblical precedent for donuts right there, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This describes this environment of camaraderie. It describes this environment of enthusiasm. It describes this environment of anticipation. They were glad to be added. But you know, that is not always the case among churches today or Christians, church members today. Researchers tell us that church attendance in the United States of America is on the decline. And they say, but the number of people attending the churches isn't in decline. Don't you love researchers? Church attendance is on decline, but the number of people attending isn't down, but how frequently they attend is down. Whereas the average church member used to attend church 90 to 100% of the time, now the average person who considers themselves a fairly committed, active church member attends 60 or 70% of the time. So it's on decline, but there's the same number of people participating, but they're participating with less frequency. Let me just go on record to say this. That is a foreign concept to New Testament Christianity. That idea of diminishing faithfulness, of diminishing participation, that would be a foreign concept to the first century believers. They oftentimes would rub shoulders all day long and all week long with people who would mock their faith, people who would deny their faith, people who rejected their God, and then they would come into the household of the believers. And it was like a cold drink of water on a dry and thirsty, dusty day, and they were so thankful. They would open the scrolls together, and they would hear the apostles or some other brothers teach the Word of God, and they would pray together, and they would share burdens with one another, and they would share a meal with one another, and they would meet needs, and they would sing the Psalms together. And it was a blessing to participate. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. People in today's culture are busy. We're too busy. But the fact is, this is not a healthy thing. If you want to know what makes a church family a healthy, functioning, happy family, it's participation. It's being glad that you're at it, and it's showing up because you're glad you're at it. What would you say if the brakes on your car decided to work 60 to 70% of the time? Would you say, I'm so thankful that the brakes on my car, they're a wonderful braking system. They're really fully engaged 60 to 70% of the time. That's not going to work. And the Bible says that we're part of the family of God. And we don't go to church. We are the church. And a level of participation is assumed in the pages of the New Testament that says that is consistent with one who has been glad to be added. Secondly, they were growing once they were added. As you read down the passage and you get past verse 41, you get to verse 42 that says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They didn't just get added to the church, they began to grow. Now, this is amazing to me because these were the newest of the new converts. These people had no background in Christianity. They didn't even have their own copies of the Bible. But they rolled up their sleeves and they continued steadfastly. You want to have a happy, healthy church family life? Grow spiritually. Growing people are easily and quickly thankful and appreciative toward other people, whereas immature, stalled Christians tend to be grumpy, tend to be negative, tend to have a problem. And the fact is that these Christians had this joy, they had this gladness, they had this enthusiasm, they had this healthy, vibrant church that by the time it would come to Acts chapter 16, they would turn the world upside down because they were growing. Because they were growing. I don't know how long you've known the Lord, and I don't know how long you've been glad to be added at Lancaster Baptist Church, but are you growing since you were added? A lot of times there's an excitement and there's an initial adrenaline and interest in the spiritual growth, but sometimes the toils of life and the tricks and traps of the devil can push us into a plateau where we're not growing like we once were. And oftentimes you can attach the lack of joy, the lack of health spiritually, with the lack of growth taking place in a believer's life and in a church's life. It says they continued with fellowship, with doctrine. They were going to discover what we believe. They were going to be people of the book. I hope you're in the Word of God this week. I hope you're growing in the Word of God. These folks continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They wanted to know what the Bible taught and what the Scriptures taught and what the apostles had been taught by Jesus Christ personally, and they wanted to be people of the book. I hope you'll be reading the Bible daily and meditating on the Bible throughout the week and coming to study the Bible together with your church family, and that we will be a people that are growing in our doctrine. And then it says, in our fellowship. Paul was refreshed by the believers, it says, in Sidon in Acts chapter 27, verse number 3. We're talking about a kind of a relationship where as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We're going to have fellowship tonight. And sometimes we think that food equals fellowship. Someone says, we're going to have some fellowship. And you say, okay, and we're going to have some food. And the person says, you already said that. You said we're going to have fellowship. Okay, well, food is a really good thing to go along with fellowship, and it did in Acts chapter 2, and rest at ease, it's going to tonight too, okay? But food does not equal fellowship. Food is not the totality of fellowship. Fellowship involves sharing burdens. Fellowship involves lifting loads. Fellowship involves accountability. Fellowship involves admonishing one another. Fellowship involves asking a brother or sister in Christ to pray with you about a sin you're needing to overcome or forsake, or about a difficulty you're having and about maybe holding you accountable in some area of your Christian growth. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. This really speaks here of the Lord's table, most Bible students believe, who commentate on this passage. Communion, the Lord's table, the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Jesus had asked them to do this upon His departure in remembrance of Him, and they did, and we will next week. Every couple of months at Lancaster Baptist, we break the bread and share the cup in the Lord's table. And it's our opportunity to hit a reset in our spiritual life. I'll tell you one thing. Those are times of growth for me. These Christians were glad to be added. They were growing once they were added in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. It ought to be a common thing in Christianity, in the church family, for Christians to pray with one another. Sometimes I'll walk from the church offices over to the area where we have our prayer before the service, and I'll see a bass in the choir lined up for choir praying with another bass in the choir, or a tenor with a tenor, or sometimes it's a bass and a tenor, then they're in harmony praying. But these folks are praying together. That ought to be common at church. That ought to be common at these homes tonight. It should be common among Christians on the phone. It should be common among Christians when they're sharing something or needing something or experiencing a burden. They were growing. They were glad they were added. They were growing once they were added. And third, they were generous with those who had been added. They were generous with those added. Look at verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now don't get nervous, okay? We're not going to put everything on Craigslist tonight. But these believers responded to the needs of their brothers and sisters. You see, in Acts chapter 2, people had come from all over the place to Jerusalem. So you have people that are displaced from their homes. They're not going back because there's nobody to teach them the Bible back there. They're staying here so they can learn from the apostles. So they're not going back to their homes. They're not going back to their jobs. They've come here, and other ones who were from Jerusalem, they oftentimes would lose their job or be thrown out by their family because of their baptism, publicly identifying with the teacher from Galilee, Jesus. And so they looked at each other, and they were all each other had. And people like Barnabas dug deep and met needs, and other believers did as well. They got busy meeting needs. And this isn't as much as you extend this principle throughout the New Testament. It becomes far more than just being generous with material things or generous financially. It really becomes a situation where the church, a healthy church family, is generous with their lives, generous with their time, generous with their encouragement, generous with their hospitality, generous with themselves. Paul said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Romans 15, Paul said, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." There are over 30 instructions in the New Testament that we are to carry out toward, quote, one another. Romans 12:10, prefer one another. Romans 15:7, receive one another. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another. These things are to be done with one another, and they're to be done generously with one another, admonishing, bearing burdens, comforting, edifying, showing hospitality, praying, weeping, rejoicing, serving. We belong to one another. And the New Testament paints a picture where people are glad to be added to one another, where it doesn't matter what they don't have in common. What they do have in common is most important, and that is the most important thing to say about someone. They have Jesus Christ living within their heart and life. They were glad to be added. They were growing once they were added. They weren't plateauing. They weren't stalled out. They weren't moving on from having been excited about their faith, and now they're just kind of just riding things out. They're growing once they're added. And then they're generous with the others who've been added. This describes a church family. This describes a life of interdependence and connectedness with one another. It really is a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body of Christ. Organs can only function properly when connected to the body. If an organ is somehow severed from the body, it will shrivel and die. It can't exist on its own. And brother and sister in Christ, neither can you, and neither can I. Disconnected and cut off from the lifeblood of the local body, our spiritual life will shrivel, will wither, and will eventually cease to exist. The church isn't just something we go to. The church is who we are. The church is a body. The church is people connected to one another, thankful for one another, bearing one another's burdens. And may God help us to not diminish our appreciation for, our love for, our dedication to, our commitment to, and our investment in the local church of God, which is the body of Christ, our church family.